You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Let's pray together. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for the morning that you've given. Thank you that you're here now. And Lord, we come from a variety of circumstances this week. Some were easy, some were more difficult. There are lots of things to distract us, some that are right in our face and others which are out on the horizon and yet we think about. But we're here now. And in the midst of this first day of a new week, you give us the opportunity, the privilege to hear your voice. So our prayer is simply this: Holy Spirit, come and speak. Nothing more. Nothing less, nothing else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. June 19th, 2002 was the day that I launched. And I remember staring out from the sixth floor of the firm that I worked at and looking at the city horizon, realizing that everything from this day forward was going to be very, very different in my life. Some years before, I had become a Christian at a Good Friday service. I didn't know what an altar call was. I didn't grow up with altar calls, but evidently that's what happened. And I pulled Mandy with me because I didn't know what was going on. And I had a call experience, and in the middle of a December night, the Lord spoke and said, "Brian, you're going to love and lead my people and minister the word and bring about revival everywhere you go." And I thought, that's a really bad idea. So then I went through about an 18-month period of discernment with a pastor, and it seemed as though it really was God's call. And then I went before the Jedi Council, who approved me. And the next morning, we were going to pack up all of our stuff to move from a town of 750,000 people to a town of 204. And we crammed that thing full of so much junk, it was unbelievable. Some of it we would never use again, like downhill skis, mountain bikes. But there were other things that we would, like Mandy's beloved ice cream bowls and my hockey gear. And here's what I can tell you definitively today. God calls people. In fact, God calls all people. Do you believe this? Do you know how to tell whether or not God is calling you? Let me show you. Put your arms out like this. I put two fingers right here. If it is beating, you have a call. And if it is not, we have medical personnel in this room, and please put your hand up as quickly as possible, okay? And that's what we're really at in this teaching series. It's the jumping point. We've taken 3 weeks to get here, and I'll explain a little bit about why that's the case. But we started with this question, what's God's will for all of life? And Ephesians chapter 1 told us quite simply, God's call or will for all of life is to live in the blessing of His grace and peace. That's what God desires. That's where He's taking this creation. That's where it started in Genesis 1. That's where it ends in Revelation 21. And then we pursued the next question, what's God's will for my life? And so we look to Ephesians chapter 2, in which we read that all of us have crossed the boundary of sin and trespass, and what God's ultimate desire is for us to repent, for us to turn the other way and to stop misusing our freedom and instead pursue God. And the good part is there's a but God moment in everybody's life that God wants to engineer. And when that but God moment, when God's prevenient grace reaches out to us and we respond with repentance, He transforms us from being dead to alive and from pursuing our wants to the needs of the kingdom. But there's another level to it, and this is the one that you've been trying to get to since the beginning. He wants you to repent so He can bring you to life, that you may hear His call, fulfill your purpose according to His will. That's what He's after. And the reason why we've spent so much time getting to this point is that unless you're alive, unless you're living in the freedom of God's desires from your life and freedom from sin and trespasses, it's impossible to know His plan, His purpose, His will for you. And the reason is so simple. Your life is about pursuing your wants rather than the kingdom needs. And when that happens, you're closed off to hearing and seeing and knowing and feeling God's will, God's purpose, God's calling on your life. So let's open up the scriptures again from Ephesians chapter 4 and hear these sacred words. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the status of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Here's the thing, friends. Callings, they're not developed and they're not constructed. They're discerned. And there's a few things that we might begin to help uncover for you. And the first is this: God's calling on your life isn't to a career, but to Christ and the needs of his kingdom. Let me say that again. God's calling on your life isn't to a career, but to Christ and the needs of his kingdom. A calling is an invitation to a special privilege or responsibility or a position that one holds. And take a look at what the scripture says this morning. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the what? The calling. To walk in the way of the special privilege and position of what it is to be a beloved, adopted, regenerated, justified child of God. Now here's the cool thing. The transition that's happened from Ephesians 2, we once walked in deadness, in trespasses and sins, but God, who came along because of his abundant grace, helps us to walk in the good works for which he's created us to do. This is part of our call, to do those works. Our calling, friends, it's not to a career, it's to Christ. To walk in Christ, to live in Christ, to be Christ-like to other people, to do the good deeds that Christ would do, because Christ empowers us through his Spirit to do them. Now, you've been given a career, and you followed a career path, and your calling might be your career, but your career might simply be the launch place for your calling. Let me explain what I mean by that. I have a good friend named Ranger Vance. That's what we call him, is Ranger Vance. And the reason is, he's a ranger. I mean, that's guy nicknames for you, isn't it? It's nothing profound. Vance went to ranger school and became an Army Ranger. And Vance went overseas and did a couple of tours. And when he came back, he decided he was going to pursue the career path of being a teacher. That's his career. But Vance's calling is to pull kids out of the darkness and into the glorious light of Christ. And everything that he does in the classroom engages the toughest kids, who he says, give me those kids. I want them. And he invites them into a life with Christ. He has gotten away with more in a public school than anybody I have ever met. Because what Vance understands is this: his career place is a place for the calling that God has on his life to unfold. It's like I told you, God calls all people. God calls all people, and our career can be the ground in which our calling unfolds. Now, the second realization I'd love for us to have today is that God's calling on our lives involves gifts that you've been given to fuel that calling. In fact, what Scripture says is that grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let me ask you this question. If Christ's gift is his death and resurrection, is that a big gift? Oh, come on, people. How big of a gift is it? Is it a big gift? There we go. So if the measure of Christ's gift is that he gives us grace, and when he ascends into the heavens, he leaves with us the gift of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts for the building of the body, are those gifts big? Those gifts are big. In fact, the Scripture says that he gave gifts to men, or we might even say, since it's plural form, all of mankind. Everybody has a gift. And you find these gifts in what we call catalogs in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, Romans says we all have different gifts according to the grace given. How big is that grace?
Big.
And if we've been given that big grace, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to use them. You have gifts, and you're called to use those gifts. And you say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, awesome. I have a QR code for you. Take an inventory. And not only take the inventory, talk to people that you know and trust. I mean, talk to people in your family. Talk to brothers and sisters in Christ that have known you for years. Talk to people in your Sunday school class or your small group. And if you don't have a Sunday school class or small group, well, you need to talk to Pastor Matt. But you have gifts that you've been given. And those gifts are to help fuel your call and build up the body. And the third realization I'd love for you to come to is that God's calling on your life is an invitation to do what you are wherever he's at work. Now, this is a big distinction. Most of the time, we tend to define who people are based on what they do, yes? And so we have certain responses based on certain people's career paths. We go, ooh, or oh. But God's calling on your life is an invitation to do what you are. Do what he's made you to be. Live out the calling of Christ wherever it is that Christ is at work. Figure out who you are and go do that. In fact, the Scripture says this morning, rather speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up. We're called to increase, is another way we could translate it. To increase in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That's the goal of the call. John the Baptist, when he was once in prison, people came to him, and John the Baptist said, well, here's the deal. I have to decrease so Christ can increase. That's part of our call. I think of a nurse who's in surgery rooms every day and how she lives into her call. Her career path is that of nurse. She has those gifts to be a nurse. But her calling in the midst of one of the most difficult times for people right before surgery is that when that patient looks at her with those eyes that are filled with, hey, what's going to happen in the next little bit, and is looking for someone to reach out and grab, she grabs their hands. And when that person says, can somebody pray for me? She's the first one to say, game on, I was just waiting for the invitation. And sure, while the doctor's in charge of the operating room, it's this nurse who puts Almighty God in charge of everyone. That's a calling. And that's the way call unfolds in the midst of career. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, that's all well and good, but Brian, really what I need is this perfect process to tell me what my calling is. And here's the deal, like, time is of the essence. Let's go. What do you got? Well, if you're looking for a perfect process, I'm just going to wreck your morning and tell you it doesn't exist. Calling's supernatural. It unfolds over time. I'm here in Kentucky because of a gentleman who's sitting in the sanctuary that was one of my professors. I didn't think my calling would unfold in that way. But this is how it works. God opens you up. The first 3 weeks are about being open to the work of the Holy Spirit, who longs to speak into your life. And as the Holy Spirit begins to work and speak into your life, sure, you can undergo a process. Maybe this might help you. In creating room with prayer and scripture and retreat or journaling or discernment or talking to a great mentor, begin to ask questions. How has God acted in my life? Make a timeline. Start at year one and you're at year 39. So what's God done in 39 years? What scriptures guide my life? And what labors do I find the most joy? What would get me out of bed at 3 a.m. for free? That'll tell you about your calling. In what ways do I speak for Jesus in my daily life? Develop that timeline of key God events and the scripture verses that are influential in your life. Maybe it takes you a few months. Maybe it's as much as a year. And then you move on to the next step. And consider the values that God gives you to guide your life. One of my guiding values, believe it or not, is adventure. I keep trying to get Mandy to own this value. And thankfully, her value is stability. And this is why I needed Mandy badly. What spiritual gifts has God given me? Take an inventory. Talk to people around you. What should I have been doing with my life? That's a question you can ask yourself, because it's never too late. What do I feel most passionate about? And you discover your gifts and you begin to write out your values, and that takes you to the last step. What would I take a stand or sacrifice for? What would I do if I had zero constraints? What has God drawn me to before, but maybe I've turned my back? And in what areas of my life have I held back and why? And when you combine these tools and you give the Holy Spirit room to begin to speak into your life, I guarantee you somewhere along the way, you'll find a calling. Now, the hard part is, the next question you'll ask is, how do you know if it's God's will or not? Well, it should never contradict Scripture. It should never contradict 2,000 years of orthodox expression of the church. And I would find 10 of my closest friends who I know beyond a shadow of a doubt walk with Jesus. And if any one of them says, you are off your rocker, probably better go back and listen again. Those tools will keep you in line. And that takes us back to the call. What's God's calling on your life? He wants you to repent so he can bring you to life, that you may hear his call and fulfill your purpose according to his will. The reason most people miss it is they think only about a career path. And careers are great. They're great. The hard part is, sometimes we love them and sometimes we don't. Are you with me? Some Mondays we get up and we go, yes. And other Mondays we get up and go, no. And so what happens is, if our career becomes our mission, we're constantly looking for the next mission, for the next job, or for the next mate that'll make us happy, or for the next bit of money that's going to tide us over. And all those things are important to God, but that's what we begin praying about. And it takes us right back to the first question, what's God's will in the situation? And God cares where you buy the house, if it's this neighborhood or that neighborhood, or the red car or the blue car, take this job or that job. Sure, he cares. But if you're constantly pursuing the moment, how do you consider the call that's supposed to last a lifetime? That mission is bigger. I like what Oz Guinness said. He said, calling is the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion, dynamism, and direction lived out as a response to his summons and service. And I cannot say this enough today. If you are living and breathing, you have a call. God has a call on your life. And one of the things that the Lord helped me figure out, that last night being at the firm and staring out that window, is this. Our struggle here as Christians in America is this. We have figured out how to live with lots, but in return, we have too little to live for. We have figured out how to live with lots, but we have too little to live for. And the thing that the next 4 years of my life that taught me after that day I launched was this. I could lose everything. And as long as I could follow him, it really didn't matter. Amen. The same's true for your life. Seek him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I promise you, somewhere along the way, he'll speak into your life. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for a call that each one of us has. It's a call to leave the old life, to pursue a new one, to open our ears, our eyes, our minds, and our hearts, to know your purposes that we might fulfill your will, not just for our lives, but for the life of this world. And so, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would come and begin to encourage people that they have gifts, that there's a call on their life, that they have something of great value to add to the world and bringing people closer to you. Begin to stir in the midst of this congregation and start new ministries, new opportunities, new direction. And most of all, God, wherever we go in our daily travels, whatever career path we might be on, help us live out our call in that place as one of your people. We make this prayer of humble confession today in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.